Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, we are focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a magnificent exposition of who Christ is and his work. And it's the way that Paul addresses the Gnostics of the day and the fact that those people who were solely relying on their own knowledge and their own perspective of truth. And that was infiltrating the church at Colossae. And Paul hits them smack with all of the truth that goes against what they were teaching and what they believed. They were the know-it-alls of the day. They were the ones who denied the deity of Christ and who Christ is, and at best taught that he was just another man. The Apostle Paul presents him here as God. Verse 15, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Exalting here the Lord Jesus Christ. So first we see him in his relationship to God the Father. Secondly, we see him in his relationship to creation. And then we will see him in his relationship to the church, the body of Christ. We have seen already his relationship to God the Father. Now we see him in his relationship to creation. It says here that he is the firstborn in verse 15. He is the firstborn of every creature. That word firstborn is an interesting word. In Scripture, it has two separate and unique meanings. One is one that is born first, firstborn. But it is not necessarily the technical meaning of the word all of the time. Firstborn is a title that is usually given to one that is born first in a family, but not always. It has to do with the one to whom belongs the dignity and the right of the firstborn, the heir of the Father. So look at Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 33. Here, another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it, built a tower and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. The husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first. Here's a picture of God sending his servants, his prophets, to communicate with the nation of Israel, to see fruits from that vineyard, but there was no fruit. Instead, they killed the prophets. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. The picture of God the Father sending the son, the Messiah, to redeem Israel and to minister to Israel. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. Here the son is set forth as the heir of the Father. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who was sent by the Father, and he's the heir of all things. They caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard comes, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of in their seasons. Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Now the builders are the leadership of the nation of Israel. They're the builders. And they reject the cornerstone, Christ. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, from the nation of Israel, which was built by the leadership of Israel, but rejected and killed the Son. The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. It's reference to the little flock, that little remnant that believes, that is faithful, that will receive the kingdom. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. Brilliant. He was exactly speaking about them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. And so here is the Father sending the Son, who is the heir. And that's what we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. This is pictured all over Scripture. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Find Christ everywhere in the Word of God. And you'll get the theme of the Word of God. You'll get the main person of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Listen. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Heir of all things. That's the title of a firstborn. That's the right and dignity of a firstborn. He is the heir. And usually it is the firstborn in a family, but not always. When Abraham had a son from Hagar, his name was Ishmael. He was born first. But the firstborn was Isaac. To him belonged all the dignity and all the right, all the inheritance of the father. And Ishmael was cast out. Isaac was accepted because he was the firstborn. Not born first, but he had the title and dignity of firstborn. Esau was born first, and then Jacob. Who was the firstborn by title? Jacob. He was the one with all the dignity and all of the rights. Reuben was born first. Joseph was born later. Joseph was treated as the firstborn. Christ, as stated in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, Christ is firstborn because he has all the right and all the dignity of a firstborn. And he is distinct from every creature. See that in Colossians 1, verse 15? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is the heir in this context, and consistent with all these other passages in Scripture, he is the heir of all creation. You'll see that here in Colossians chapter 1. He is prior to every creature. Before the creature was created, he was. Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. I have always been. He is the eternal God. And he is exalted above every creature. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, because he is God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he is equal with God. He is God. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so there we have it. Exalted above all of his creatures. Exalted because he is the one who was raised from the dead to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and one day to be the judge of all the earth. And so no wonder Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is the heir of all creation. Now notice that in our Bibles at least, verse 15 ends with a colon. And the reason for that is because the next verse has everything to do with what Paul just said in verse 15. And if you don't believe in punctuation marks in the Greek, the word for does the same thing. The word for in verse 15. How is it that he is the firstborn of every creature? How is it that he's the heir of all creation? Why? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And so we have the next point, which is that he, Christ, is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of the universe. Verse 16 says that by him all things were created. It says that all things were created for him. And so here we have by him. We also read that they were created for him, right? All things were created by him. All things were created for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the reason for creation. He is the agent of creation. He is the source of creation. He is the ultimate end of creation. As the firstborn, all things have been created for him and they were created by him. He is before all things, and in him everything holds together. The centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ and how Paul exalts him to his rightful place because he is the sovereign God of creation. By him all things were created. All things were created for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Because the Bible begins with certain truths that cannot be denied, that cannot be forsaken. First of all, it says in the beginning. It assumes that there's a beginning, and it assumes the existence of God. It doesn't try to prove that there's a God, although Scripture certainly proves the existence of God. But verse 1 begins with the assumption that there is a God. In the beginning, God. You see, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How did God create the heaven and the earth? Well, look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. How did God create? By his word. In verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. How did the firmament in the midst of the waters, how were they created and divided? By his word. God said, and it was done. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. How did that happen? Because God said so. His word is what caused it to happen. And you see that over and over again. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. How did God do that? All he had to do was say it because of the power of his word. It is through his word that God made all of this possible, that God brought all of this into existence. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. How did that show up? God said. God spoke it into existence. The power of the agency of his word. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that is life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. So here we have it. Over and over again, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How? God spoke it all into existence. God used his word in order to make it so. He decides to create man, and he takes from the dust of the ground, and he breathes into Adam the breath of life, and he creates Adam. And then we see in chapter 3 of Genesis, we have the fall of Adam and the impact that that had on creation. And if you don't get Genesis 1, 2, and 3 right, you'll get none of it right for all the other 66 books of the Bible. You just won't get it right. You don't get right that there's a God. The rest of the Bible is totally irrelevant. You don't get right the fall of man, and the rest of the Bible is totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter, because it has everything to do with the existence of God, who God is, the fact that he is your creator, and the fact that man fell. And man is a sinner before a holy God. And man needs a savior, because man cannot save himself. Got to get that right. If you don't get this right, then everything else falls apart. And so we have Satan and his plan of evil trying to distract people, trying to lie to people right from the beginning. And he said, there's no God. Therefore, God could not have created anything because he doesn't exist. And so man has to come up with some idiotic philosophy of how this all came into existence. They say millions and millions of years passed. There must have been an explosion somewhere that brought all of this into existence. That's some intelligent explosion to create complex you. And to create the complexity of this universe, it doesn't make sense. It's a lie from Satan himself. Because Scripture states categorically that there is a God, and in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God made man in his own image, and man decided to sin against God. And the whole human race fell into disastrous sin. And consequence of sin. The only way that that could be remedied is not by man denying the existence of God, not by man in his own vain imagination thinking about some other way that this universe came into being, nor man trying to justify himself by some works before a holy God. It all comes from here. Now, it is very interesting how Scripture presents the Lord Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. Look at the book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, familiar verses to many. But look at what it says. Right at the start of John's epistle, John's gospel, what does it say? In the beginning, let's look at Christ, because that's who John is speaking about. And then we'll make the transition to Colossians. Because there's reinforcement that it is Christ who is the creator of all things. All things were created by him, for him, he's before all things, and in him all things consist. So John begins with the same words as Genesis chapter 1. John chapter 1, in the beginning. In the beginning was what? In the beginning was the Word. Huh. How did God create this universe? Through the Word. He spoke it into existence. And that Word is personified in the person of Jesus Christ, because he is the creator of this universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In fact, John says in John chapter 1, verse 1, that the Word was God. All right? And then John says the same was in the beginning twice. You see, in the beginning was the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 3. All things were made by him, Christ. All things were made by him. Sound familiar? Yeah, Colossians chapter 1. All things were made by him. All things were made by him. Oh, and to make further emphasis, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the exclusivity of the person of Christ, who is here titled as the Word, by him all things were created. And if you think that anything else was created apart from him, This verse denies that. Because without him was not anything made that was made. Now go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and you'll see what Paul says about Christ. What did God say to Adam would happen to him if he would sin, if he would eat of the fruit of the tree? He would surely die, right? The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now the serpent comes and lies to Eve, said, no, no, you're not going to die. Changes the word of God, denies the word of God, adds to the word of God. The fact of the matter is, God said, you will die. Of Christ, it says, in him was life, in John chapter 1, and the life was the light of men. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Verse 15, he's the firstborn of every creature. He is the firstborn of every creature. Later on, you'll see another way in which that is used, the word firstborn about Christ. We'll see that. Verse 16, for by him were all things created. We see that in Colossians, right? Colossians chapter 1, by him all things were created. It's consistent with John chapter 1. It's consistent with Genesis chapter 1. Now we have further revelation. For by him were all things created. Where? Well, that are in heaven and that are in earth. Right? In heaven and earth. All things were created by him. Whether they're in heaven or earth. Visible, those are the things that are on earth. Invisible, the things that are in heaven. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. He is before all things. So here we have by him, for him, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All of creation is held together by the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, lest you think that this world is falling apart, God, in his sovereignty, in his sovereign plan, has allowed this fallen world, fallen creation, to suffer the consequences of the fall. So we read in Romans chapter 8, creation groans, and we groan, waiting for the redemption, the deliverance, when we get a new body. Creation groans, and God has allowed, in his sovereignty, for Satan to be the god of this world temporarily and to exercise certain power, certain dominion, certain control over this earth. But don't think for a minute that God has abdicated his responsibility and that Christ has let go of the fact that he is the one that causes all things to hold together. By him, all things consist. The reason that the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening, the reason that we have seasons, the reason that the universe holds together in spite of what God has allowed Satan to do here on this earth, this universe is held together by him who holds it together, the Lord Jesus Christ. By him, all things consist. All right? And he's before all things. He is before all things. He is ahead of all things. He's the sovereign ruler of all things. By him, all things consist. Now, he's also the head of the body. He is the head of the body. Here we have Adam, who was part of the old creation. He is the first Adam. And what we find in 1 Corinthians 15:45 is that Christ is what? He's the last Adam. He's the last Adam. The first Adam was the head of the human race. The last Adam is the head of a whole new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's what the last Adam is doing today, a new creation. And because we are in Christ, in the last Adam, all that was true of us in the first Adam has been nailed to the cross. And Christ has dealt with the fall, with fallen man, and he is now reconciling. The scripture presents him as reconciling the world to himself. That is, he has offered reconciliation to the whole world. The whole world is reconcilable to him. Christ will reconcile all things one day, whether in heaven or on earth, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, he will reconcile all things to himself. And he is now offering personal reconciliation to those who are at enmity with him through wicked works. Look at it. Verse 18, and he's the head of the body. You see, he is now the head of the body. Head of the body, his new creation. That's what he's doing today, forming his body as the last Adam. He's the head of the body, the church. Oh, listen to what Paul calls him here. Think of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John says, in the beginning was the Word. Paul says here that Christ, what does it say there? Is the beginning. He is the beginning. Paul sets forth Christ as the origin of all things, the origin of your existence, the origin of this world. So when we look at Christ, Christ, if we put Christ here, he, by him, all things were created, right? All things were created, and they were created for him. So by him and for him. And he holds this whole thing together. In him, all things consist. All things hold together. And he's before all things. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, referencing his resurrection. He's the firstborn from the dead. Look at Colossians 1:21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. The whole thing falls apart with Adam. The whole thing gets reconciled through Christ. He restores it all. He fixes it all. And there's no other way to fix it. Laws won't fix it. Government won't fix it. Religion won't fix it. Man won't fix it. Christ will reconcile all things to himself. He reconciles individuals, and he reconciles all of creation. There's the focus on the person and work of Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18 then. He's the firstborn of the dead. Why? Oh, this is great. That in all things, Christ might have the preeminence. Christ might have the preeminence. It belongs to him. It's who he is. He is sovereign God. He is your creator. And the creation that we enjoy today is held together by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the reason we have air to breathe and food to eat. It's the reason that we have the sun and the moon and the stars and all of these things held together, even though there is on this earth playing a drama. And the God of this world is deceiving and lying and try to get man away from these truths. But it doesn't change the truths. It's only temporary. One day, God will fix it all. Christ reconciles all things to himself. Things on earth, things in heaven. All reconciled by him. And the only way he could do that, is through the work of his cross. It's all focused on the cross. Without the cross, we don't have the reconciliation of all things. Without the cross, we don't have individual reconciliation to God. Without the shedding of his blood, it doesn't fix anything. Man cannot fix anything. Now look at this. Verse 18, he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, in him dwells all the fullness. All the fullness of God. Why? Because he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn from the dead. He is God. And as God, he is to be served, to be worshipped, to be recognized as the one who has the preeminence. He has the preeminence in creation, and he has the preeminence through reconciliation. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Look at chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here you have it. Christ in bodily form. Christ taking upon himself the form of a man. He became a man. But in that man dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Because John also says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In him dwells all the Godhead in bodily form. And so he says to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He is the visible representation of the invisible God. If you have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, you have seen the invisible God. How magnificent, how glorious this truth is. That it's all about Christ. It's not about you. It's about Christ. It's not about Satan. It's about Christ. This whole creation revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day it will all be reconciled. And today God offers reconciliation to individuals. believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because in him, verse 14, there is redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And you, that were one time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. The reconciliation, the atonement is present. We own it. It has been given to us by his grace as a total gift, and it belongs to us permanently for all eternity. It is ours. It belongs to us because it was given to us by the grace of God. Reconciliation, which is ours in him. And made possible, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death. Just think of it. This God-man who did all of this decided to take upon him the form of a servant. And he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. To do what? So that he could present you, you who were unholy, full of sin, full of ungodliness and unrighteousness, to present you holy. You and I who were full of guilt and responsibility for our sin, God presents us unblameable. We who could have gotten the benefits of God's judgment and the horrible judgment that God imparts upon the unbeliever for all eternity, unreprovable in his sight. And that's what really matters. Not if you're holy in front of everybody else. Doesn't matter. Not if you're holy in this world. What really matters is, are you unblameable, unreprovable, and holy in his sight? And it's all made possible through the auspices of the Lord Jesus Christ. His payment, his redemptive work, the shedding of his blood. And this is who he is. So I hope you'll never read Genesis 1, 2, and 3 the same again, but that you will see the Lord Jesus Christ in every word. In the beginning, he is the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. Without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. He is the word by which God created. For God said, and it was so, that he might have the preeminence, that he might be honored by his creation. And there's a portion of his creation that does not and will not honor him. He will be honored. He is exalted. And all because of what he accomplished for us in his cross. And that's whom we serve. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he is.